My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, hour number two. Taking the afternoon, then we will give way to D'Lo and Kenny right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Thanks for listening to the Insiders. What?
You catch it every time. Like, I would have already said it like eight times. Like, I would have said, D'Lo and not Kenny.
Yeah, D'Lo and Kenny.
Yeah.
No KC this week.
No KC this week. I love the bit.
Kenny. Thank you.
It is Kenny.
It is Kenny Caraway, of course. It's still technically the guy with those initials, but because it's Super Bowl week and the 49ers are playing Kansas City, we're eliminating KC from the conversation.
I love it.
We're rolling with it. Thanks, man. I'm glad you like it.
We don't know if Kenny's going to be here today.
Yeah, it's TBD.
Yeah, it is TBD. I haven't seen him come through yet. He has some stuff.
Might be just D'Lo. I don't know.
It might be.
Tap in to find out. Thanks, everybody, for listening on the radio, on the free Odyssey app, and, of course, everybody in on ESPN 1320 TV. That's youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, also streaming live on Twitter at ESPN 1320. Wherever you're watching, we appreciate you very much. If you're on YouTube, hit that little like button. Also, subscribe to the channel so all of our content is right there at the top of the page when you log in. All right. First of all, we were having a conversation at the break about muting versus blocking on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I mute people is because it's usually for something that's not that egregious or something that's like, okay, this is annoying. I'm just going to mute this so it doesn't show up in my mentions anymore.
Okay.
And then that person maybe will reply to something later and it shows under your tweet like you've muted this person. I'll look and I'll go, oh, okay, that's like I muted them for some reason that they can be unmuted now.
Yeah.
That allows me to do that, whereas blocking really doesn't. Once you're blocked, you're out of here.
I have like gone out after a game and gone to walk to my car and like there are fans there and like, hey, what's going on? And I'll say hello and then they'll be like, hey, you blocked me. And I'm like, okay.
You're probably being a knucklehead.
That was pretty rare that I blocked somebody. And typically it's when they say something overtly offensive aimed at somebody, whether it's a Kings player or a Kings coach. Like, you can sit there and bag on a coach all you want and say that they should fire this coach or blah, blah, blah. But when you get, like, profane and offensive, I'm like, look, I don't have time.
Yeah,
and I don't want it in my timeline. I don't want it in my timeline.
Yep. Gone. Yeah. I met somebody at a 95.7 event one time, and they went, hey, yeah, I'm a huge fan. You blocked me on Twitter. I don't know why. And then I went and looked, and they had, like, mother effed me and this and that, and I was an idiot and blah, blah. I'm like, dog, like, what?
Whoa, is this you?
He's like, oh, I was going through something, sorry, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
All right.
You get unblocked.
All right.
You're a nice in person.
Like, stop doing that. Right. Stop being a keyboard warrior.
Yeah.
There all we right. go.
All right. Let's get to, we have a bunch of sound to get to in this segment. So Super Bowl Media Day was yesterday. Putting a pin in Kings. We'll get back to the Kings momentarily.
Yes.
Super Bowl Media Day was yesterday, and that is where the players from each team come into the stadium and they do these onstage interviews where it's blasted over the PA, and then there's like individual press conferences. It is a madhouse. You've got Jimmy Fallon's crew there like messing with players, and you've got people from different podcasts asking, you know, when was the first time you benched 315 pounds? Like those kind of questions.
Yeah, if you're a smoothie king smoothie, what flavor would you be?
Right, that's your favorite.
It is.
we here prefer Jamba Juice.
That's right.
If anybody from Jamba Juice wants
would
to
like sponsor, the show. Show, yeah.
We regularly, every morning, it's just us like this. Mmm. That protein berry workout sure does taste good in the mornings.
My peach perfection is wonderful.
Just look at all the boosts you can get. No. All right, so Andy Reid, the Chiefs head coach, got asked a question about the 49ers, and listen to this response. I don't even know what the question is, but it's a very generic answer about the 49ers, and listen to how he answers this question.
Yeah, listen, they're good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a good team, so, and they are favored, which we understand. We had ups and downs this year, so.
If you didn't hear that, he went, yeah, they're a good team, and they are favored, which we understand. We've been up and down this year. That is an NFL head coach referencing the point spread of a football game they're in.
I just wonder, like, if he pulled out Prize Picks and started saying, well, if I were to choose one, I definitely would go with the Mahomes 99% off. 1 yard. All he needs is
right,
1 yard,
right.
And I win
half
one.
A yard.
After that, I'm not sure because I'm not going to. Kadarius Toney, 52 yards or more or less. I don't think I'm taking that.
Yeah, I'm going less on that.
I'm going less.
No, it's just, it's so funny how entrenched sports betting has become in sports.
It's everywhere now.
That not only is the coach yes. going, yeah, they're favored, and we understand that. We've been up and down this year. He's not only saying they're favored, he's like, yeah, but given how the betting markets work, like, what? That's, but I think this just sounds new, because, and he's not saying they're favored like, oh, the general public is just kind of, in general, picking them to win. It's literally, the sports book has the 49ers as 2.1 to 2.5 point, depending on the book, point favorites over the Chiefs. And hearing a coach say this and reference that, to me, is not alarming. Like, oh my God, Andy Reid, how does he know? Is he betting on it? It's not even that. It's just that it's so permeated into the sports conscience now that you have head coaches that are just vaguely or maybe acutely aware of how many points their team is either favored or dogs by.
Yes.
Underdogs. That's...
Like look, it's so much
it's
part
amazing.
Of how we watch the game. It's part... like. And yeah. that's where, like, yeah, the podcast is sponsored by Prize Picks, and I put out
the Kings Beat podcast.
The Kings Beat podcast mm-hmm. is sponsored by Prize Picks, and I go out and I put Prize Picks things out every game. I am horrible at it, but it doesn't mean I'm not having a good time.
Right.
And we have a good time as a media group doing it mm-hmm. when everyone's together at a Kings game. But I think that's, it's just such, it is like, it found its way in.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, the game is in Las Vegas. You let a team move to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's in Las Vegas. Like, I sure do hope no players get in trouble this week for doing something stupid like walking up to a sports bet window. Like, don't be dumb. Don't be dumb.
Yeah, I'm sure there were many, many meetings about what is and is not legal from a sports betting perspective. With the league's rules.
I hope everyone is like sitting there, like they've had these conversations again and again and again with these
because,
players.
Yeah. And remember, players have been suspended for betting legally in states.
Yeah.
But at like the team hotel, they get suspended from the NFL for that because they were at the team hotel and not outside.
Mm.
Just, okay. Yeah, I'm with you. You got to know all the rules. A couple more really quick. Here's Brock Purdy got asked about Taylor Swift, obviously.
It's late in the fourth quarter. Are you prepared to disappoint Taylor Swift?
Yes.
You know why that answer's perfect? Yes. You know why that answer's perfect? It exudes confidence. Like, yeah, I'm ready to do that. But it wasn't disrespectful.
No. Nope.
You can't use it as bulletin board material. He's answering the question. Swifties aren't going to come after him. Chiefs players aren't going to be like, hey, did you see what he said about Travis's girlfriend? Meh. He just went, yes. And then he says it's not in that clip, but he goes, I'll leave it at that.
There it is.
Purdy under pressure again coming through.
There he is.
Good job, Brock. And then
franchise quarterback, Brock Purdy.
Talk about people making decisions.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan made a decision before heading to the podium last night. At least, it sounds like Kyle Shanahan made a decision before going to the podium last night. Here he is talking to NFL Network's Michael Robinson.
When owner comes in after training camp practices and is like, hey, how's the quarterback? And what he means is the starter or the second. And you in irritation go, I don't know, but our third guy's the best. Like, that's not what he wants to hear. So that's why he remembers it very strong. But that was just more, Brock was so good right away with every rep he got. He was always the same. And he only got a couple of them. So it was easy for me to say. Because in his few reps, he was the best. But if you know that for a fact, I mean, then you do what you do right away. But he was the best. But you ease that on. And every time he got a little more reps, it was the same as when he only got two. And so when it was all said and done and he got a lot of playing time, I was like, oh, this looks exactly like what I told you when I was irritated. And he only had three reps. And I said, no, he's the best. But that's what was so real about Brock. That's why after his seven games his rookie year, even when he got hurt, we knew what we had because he'd been that way in practice every day, and it was the exact same way in the games.
Scotch, scotch, scotch.
Dude.
I love scotch.
Vodka Red Bull, per sources. But my man was here. There's two. He was either feeling himself before going out there and was like, this is going to suck. I'm going to have a couple drinks. Or I couldn't really tell. Maybe it's playing over a speaker, and it was one of those things where he's hearing himself back. I'm sure you've experienced this on television. And if you haven't, when you're talking and you hear yourself on delay, you start to slow down. Right. Because it doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because you're trying to not repeat yourself. So you talk like this. So the sound isn't coming through as fast. So I thought maybe that's what it was, but I think he was just having a good time. Whatever it was, I'm here for it.
I am also here for it. I mean, if you're going to put the Super Bowl in Vegas, this is going to happen.
Look, here's if you're done for the night and I got to go do this media responsibility and then I'm going to go to bed. If that's what he did, again, I don't know if he did or not, but if that's what he did, I'm here for it.
All right.
It's not like it's not like he went, hey, you know what? Instead of watching film, I'm going to do this. No, he's already watched all the film he's going to watch today. He's going to do it again today and the next day.
Probably going to catch Blue Man Group.
Yeah, maybe see, Cirque du Soleil and call it good. Yeah. All right. We didn't get to the A's getting fried by the mayor of Las Vegas on the Front Office Sports Podcast. We'll listen to that next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Good question in the chat about Sasha Vezenkov. We can talk about that in a little bit. I want to get to this sound from the mayor of Las Vegas, though. And James, I know you're in the same boat as me in terms of the A's leaving.
Yeah.
Lifetime A's fan, them leaving Oakland just hurts. And I'm not necessarily optimistic that they're going to wind up staying in Oakland somehow. I think that the John Fisher's unwillingness or seeming unwillingness to sell the team and the fact that it appears that the relationship between the current A's regime and the city of Oakland has fractured to a point beyond repair. all of that stuff has me more pessimistic than optimistic. But these little things just keep happening. In Vegas. From the Vegas side. Whether it's schools over stadiums or a teachers union that is suing the state for the way SB 1 passed. That's the bill that gave the A's the $380 million in public funds to help build their stadium on the Tropicana site. And now the mayor of Las Vegas has spoken out. And I was certain, I don't know what you thought, but when I first saw that she spoke, I was like, oh, I bet she's like, oh, we can't wait to have them and this and that. It turns out she's not on the A's side here.
She has come out with a statement after the fact, but I want her words speak here. Like let her words speak for her, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because she was on a podcast. She said what she wanted to say.
She was on the Front Office Sports podcast speaking from the hip, not in a PR crafted statement.
That's right.
And here's the first thing she said about how things have gone working with the A's in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, it's your government. It really is. I mean, you've got to find, I mean, to me, if you want something badly enough, you find a way to get it done. Certainly here, I think those who've been involved with the conversations and the planning, and as I said, Dave Cabal and his team have many, 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 many meetings picked on different sites. This one's definite. Nope, they don't like it anymore. This one's the one. Nope, not that one. And that's the reason I keep thinking there's something wrong here. And maybe just waiting it out. And it's not a vote because the people, I'm not sure the funds are there. So how do you find and make the funds happen? I just know that Mr. Fisher, a longtime successful family, in my opinion, needs to listen to the people that are up there. It's their team.
Carolyn Goodman, welcome to the resistance. Come on. The mayor of Las Vegas is like, yeah, they have all these meetings and they have this site and that site. And oh my God. That doesn't sound like a person who has been thrilled to work with the Oakland A's.
No, I don't know anyone that is thrilled to work with them. Like, and I think everybody from Major League Baseball to even Las Vegas and certainly in Oakland, everybody that gets done dealing with them feels the same way. Just sell the team. I mean, Las Vegas, they want them there so they can get the team there and then he can get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only...
But he can't even do that because of the stipulations put in place by Major League Baseball because they were so worried that he's such a snake that he's going to get his move and then...
Sell the team, dude.
Sell it. That's all. Like, just call Lacob and sell the team. Or just, you know what? Like, he's going to try to work here to get it to Sacramento, like, temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm okay with that because I don't think the guy's going to, at the end of the day, is going to have the finances or anything else in place in Vegas. And I feel bad for Oakland. But, again, Oakland has allowed... They've enabled some of this behavior.
A little bit, for sure.
They have, over the course of like 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, you should have figured out a way. And look, Sacramento did the same thing. Mm-hmm. For years and years and years, they did the same exact thing. They didn't appreciate what they had. And then they got an ownership group in the Maloofs who, like, you know, won and everyone got all excited. But then they couldn't get a deal done that they thought was good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tank Q&R. Like, all these things happen, right? But. Yeah. At the end of the day, the best thing for Sacramento, best thing for the NBA, was to get those guys out of here. Mm-hmm. You can't be owners anymore because you don't have the money to be an owner. And it's the same thing with Fisher.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? He's doing a 9-acre parcel, like, on the backside of the strip where they're not even tearing down the building for, like, 3 years.
You know, it's funny you say that because the mayor of Las Vegas feels the same way.
We had entertained them down here. We have a very large complex, probably about 60 acres. We probably could cobble together more land so they could possibly have 100 acres. And it's in the historic old part of town, which is where all major interstate highways come together. We have 7 access points to it. It is in an opportunity zone. There are all these benefits. And so when they said no, I thought, this doesn't make sense. Here's a great site. They can get a great price on it because it's owned by the city. We went out to reach for them. And yet, no, they're going to go out, want to get closer to the strip with all the congestion and everything. And I thought, this does not make sense. And so why is it happening? And then I thought, well, because they really want to stay in Oakland. They want to be on the water. They have that magnificent dream. And yet they can't get it on.
Big ups to Carolyn Goodman for saying that out loud.
Yes.
She, at the beginning of that, was describing the original site that the A's were going to buy in Las Vegas. 60-plus acres. You heard her say they could have gotten them probably 40 more acres, so 100 acres to build this ballpark and hotel and whatever they want to do with it. They can just have this, their own section of the city. And they went, actually, no, we want 9 acres in the middle of the strip where they're going to tear down a building where there's not access points. And
they're not going to own anything
parking.
Else. There's no development.
Right. The development's right. The development's
already done.
There is no
$12 billion arena like complex that they were going to build in Oakland.
Mm-mm.
All of that's no.
None of it.
Wild, man. This whole thing is crazy. It's crazy.
And we don't even know what the thing looks like. They're
so far
behind.
They've
still not come up with renderings.
Man. They probably don't have the money to pay for renderings.
Probably not.
Like, I'm surprised, again, they didn't, like, Mr. Bean this thing and, like, take one of the old renderings and, like, pencil across the top. Well, this is what a dome would look like on top of this. Like,
that's the whole thing. So, remember, it was going to be a retractable roof stadium. And then they went, you can't do that on 9 acres. What are you doing? So, my guess is, I don't know this, my guess is the reason the renderings portion of this is taking so long is because they paid for renderings on a massive site.
Yeah.
And all of those renderings, somebody went, hey, that's not going to work on 9 freaking acres. So now they're trying to figure out, I think what you just said, they're trying to Mr. Bean it and just erase and try and modify the old renderings because they don't want to pay for new ones.
I think, you know what, Kyle? If they turn the stadium on its end, they probably could fit it on the 9-acre parcel.
Yeah.
And just have a baseball field on its side.
Mm-hmm. Like a pinball game, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Just tilt that thing. Tilt it.
What a freaking joke, man. You know what? Hey, Katrina makes a great point in the chat.
It's a complete crap.
Damn right it is.
That's right.
This is completely BS.
I couldn't agree more.
Sell the team, dude.
And that's how we're going to go out. All right. Good, bad, and ugly from the Kings' loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. A couple of the rotation things that we talked about a little bit early in the show. We will dive into those next. And then one of D'Lo or Kenny will be in here. I haven't seen Kenny yet. My guess is it's D'Lo, but the handoff coming up as well on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and
get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session. Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is completely BS.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Congratulations to Trae Young and Scotty Barnes, who are both Eastern Conference All-Stars. They are injury replacements for
Julius Randle, Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, very good.
I did just watch the NBA TV has their promo for the All-Star media availability that's coming up. And they probably need to rework it because it does have like video of like Domantas Sabonis sitting there talking and everything else. Since you snubbed the guy, you probably shouldn't use him in your promo video for the upcoming event. Just saying. Like, let's be professional here.
This is completely BS.
Yeah, it is. It is completely BS. Like, you know, I don't get that. But anyway.
That's outrageous. What happened tonight?
I'm not going to play the whole minute five.
I love him.
Me too.
He's amazing.
Kings fall to the Cavs 136 to 110 last night. Let's get to some of the good, the bad, and the ugly from that performance before we get to the handoff featuring one of Damian Barling or Kenny Caraway. I think the first good thing that you have to talk about is Domantas Sabonis's 12 points, 19 boards, and 15 assists, which looks fake.
Yeah, those numbers do look fake, right? 12, 19, 15. Sabonis has just been an incredible, incredible, consistent star player, all-star player.
Yep.
Like the fact that he's not in the All-Star game is a travesty. The league needs to figure it out. And I feel bad for, you know, Sacramento Kings fans who are out there waiting for someone in the Western Conference All-Star team to get injured so their guy can get in. But that's kind of the game. And, you know, he was a monster, man. Like if you can, like we talked about, he scored 12 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then those 15 assists led to at least 30 points and probably more like 36.
Mm-hmm.
So he attributed like 48 to 50 points here. That's incredible. Like he directly had a tie to all of those points. That's crazy.
Do you want to know all the players in NBA history who have had a game of at least 12, 19, and 15?
How many?
Russell Westbrook, who's done it three times.
Yep.
Guy Rogers, San Francisco Warriors legend, did it once. Oscar Robertson did it three times.
Of course.
Wilt Chamberlain did it seven times. Larry Bird once and Giannis once.
Okay. How many times has Sabonis done it?
Once.
Just that's the night. First time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
12, 19, and 15 is hard to do, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, just think if it would have been like a 20, 20, and 15. That's just wild. So
insane. Right. Let's see. Domantas Sabonis is only the second player to ever have that stat line and lose.
Oof. Oy vey, everybody.
Wilt Chamberlain also lost on March 19th, 1968.
Okay.
If anybody cared. It's so funny looking up Domantas Sabonis stats because it oftentimes puts Wilt Chamberlain front and center.
It's just him and Wilt like and half some, the time.
Listen to these stat lines. 22, 27, and 19. 26, 24, and 15. 15, 22, and 17. 22, 25, and 21.
Oh.
19, 27, and 16. 35, 24, and 15. And 31, 21, and 15.
That's incredible.
Insane. Insanely dominant.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
Back to it.
Definitely back to it. I think the other good things from this game, Harrison Barnes showed up again. Like he's found himself. He's worked his way back and he's let his voice be heard that he needs to be a bigger part of what's happening. 6 of 10 from three, 22 points. I think in this, we've talked about Malik Monk a lot today, but you just keep needing more Malik Monk when he's on this kind of tear.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to let him go.
Yeah.
Just do your thing, man.
Yep. Their most important player. I would love to see him do that more. With Harrison Barnes, I'm going to nitpick a little bit. It's great to see the shooting numbers.
Yeah, but he's got to do more.
He has to. And like I said, we talked about this so many times with him. It's not that I would say draw up some plays for him early just to get him engaged. So maybe you get a couple assists and 5-6 rebounds from him. But shooting is great, but he's still not engaged in these other parts of the game. And that's a little bit of a problem for me. If I'm nitpicking.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree.
But the fact he's putting shots up, he's contributing in some way, which is more than he could say early in the year.
You know, I'd say the last thing from the good side of the good, the bad, and the ugly is a 5-2 trip is incredible.
Yep.
That is really, really good. It doesn't matter who you're playing to go 5-2 on a long 7-game road trip, longest road trip of the year. That's tremendous. And I'm willing to give him a pass on the final game as just like it all caught up to him.
Yeah, it caught up to him, and the Cavs are just good. Like, they didn't lose to a bad team last night. I didn't watch the Kings and go, wow, this is a huge indictment on their attitude as a team or anything. Like, no, they were close, and then the Cavs pulled away late, and the score looked more lopsided than the game was as a whole, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And their other loss was a 9-point loss in Miami that was there for the taking against a Miami team that was trying not to lose its 8th game in a row.
Yeah.
That team was in the finals last year. So I think if I told you before this road trip through Golden State, Dallas, Memphis, Miami, Indiana, Chicago, and Cleveland, if I had said, I'll give you 5-2, I think you would have taken it.
Oh, heck yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely.
A overall very successful trip, I thought.
I thought so too.
What about the bad stuff?
Shot distribution. I don't like Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis taking 9 shots each. That needs to change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's what I get that this is like a democratic offense, right?
Yes.
Like it's going to be very, everybody gets, I would way rather, I think, moving forward, and this may not happen this year because it's kind of a stark change, but into next year, I would love to see a very clear pecking order of like De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, those are the dudes. Like, sorry, Kevin, sorry, Harrison, you might only get 7 shots some nights. You might get 10 here and there, but these are the guys who are going to be the primary scorers of the basketball on a night in, night out basis. Again, maybe there's the odd game where Herter's just red hot or Sabonis gets in foul trouble or whatever. But that's what I would like to see moving forward, because if the Kings are going to be a title contender, it's going to be on the back of those three guys.
Well, that's why I will continue to say, Kyle, that if you're going to like really take the next step with this team, it hurts. It's a band-aid that you got to rip off.
Mm-hmm.
The players that you talked about, the Kevin Herters and the Harrison Barnes of the world, they need to be swapped out for pieces that make more sense to support the three.
Yeah,
so they have to be the long athletic defender. It's got to be a true, you know, 3-and-D shooting guard alongside of De'Aaron that can take some of the slack off De'Aaron. Like, those are things you want, these pieces. It's nice to have a guy like Kevin Herter who can get you 3 or 4 assists, who can get you 5 or 6 rebounds in a game and hit a bunch of threes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, there is some, like, it's easier for a team to allow three players to step up and ascend if like say Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is at the
right.
two guard,
mm-hmm.
or you know, name that 3-and-D you know guy sure. at the three.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's where the next version of this team has to go,
mm-hmm.
which is it's tough, but
no, I'm right there with you, man. It that's pretty clear to me what the Kings taking the next step is going to look like. It's going to be more focus on those three guys. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but more of the offensive focus on those three guys. There just can't be a night where Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis are combining to take 18 shots.
Yeah, and then of course you get the fourth guy. The fourth guy is going to be Malik Monk,
yeah,
right? That's right. How this thing has to be built.
Yep.
But you need the other players to, and that's why maybe Kyle Kuzma doesn't make sense. That's why maybe Jeremy Grant doesn't make sense.
Sure.
Maybe you need a much more defensive-minded but three-point shooting version of those guys, and it's not easy to find.
Yeah, no, it's because that's frankly what every team is looking for.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's why we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, but that's why playing Kessel Edwards makes so much sense.
Oh, totally.
Because maybe he's that dude.
Well, and I would say that even if he's not that dude, he's giving you the roadmap to the dude you need.
Mm,
you just need that, but a more seasoned veteran version that can actually be reliable on a night in and night basis to shut down somebody defensively, but also provide this offense that is more like
complimentary offense.
Complimentary offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where you're standing in the corner shooting threes and sometimes you get a layup here or there. Sometimes you get a back cut. Sometimes you get, you know, a transition bucket, but realistically, if you've shot more than 8 or 9 times in a game, that's like you've kind of gone outside of who you are as a player, and that's okay. The Kings need to get to that point, though.
Aaron Gordon is the name that just came to mind when you were describing all that, and I think Aaron Gordon's a really like high-level version of it.
Yeah.
But that kind of, when you watch the Nuggets, it's very clear what Aaron Gordon's role is.
No, totally.
And it's not as a primary scorer.
But look at the Nuggets are who you should be in a lot of ways, like, building your modeling your team after. Yeah. You know, while they might be different positions, or you're getting more productivity out of Fox versus Murray, you can see where Keegan Murray could become a Michael Porter Jr. type player.
Mm-hmm.
You just need the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and the Aaron Gordon versions to go with them.
Aaron Gordon is 9.9 shots a night, and I'm guessing KCP is probably around the same thing.
Yes, maybe a little bit less.
Maybe, let's see, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I did not realize he's 6'5". I thought he was a 6'3" guy. Kentavious called 8 shots a night.
Yeah. Really, really, really strong defender.
18 shots between those two guys is, I think, where the sweet spot is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
What else you got?
Let's see. Get to the line. You know, the Kings need to figure out how to get to the free throw line. They also need more than one rebound each from, or one combined rebound from their two forwards, Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes. I'm going to give Keegan Murray a little bit of a break because Keegan Murray was defending Donovan Mitchell on the perimeter a lot, and it's not easy to turn from there and go grab a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we got. Fox settled. He needs to go get inside more, even against a long athletic team. And
yeah,
get to the line.
He's a good enough finisher that I would like to see him not worry so much about shot blockers. Like he's fast enough and a crafty enough finisher and a good enough shot maker that shouldn't deter him from being a force inside.
There was even a moment in last night's game where he had taken Donovan Mitchell off the dribble, got to the basket, had Donovan on his back. All he had to do is bump back and hit the layup and would have got the and one with no question. And he just went up for a real quick layup because he was worried about the shot blocker.
Yeah.
And those are things where you're like, okay, you know, you need to get to the line.
It's bizarre that was a problem last night and was clearly not a problem the first time they played Cleveland.
No. Well,
very strange.
I the first time they played Cleveland, Jared Allen got in foul trouble like super quick and was out of the game. Like Sabonis just absolutely worked him over.
Right.
So let's get to the ugly. The Kings are still trying to figure out how to defend the three ball. I'm not sure what's going on there, but like they just aren't defending the three at all in this game. And I thought they were a step slow.
So I think that's part of it for sure. Where are they at on the season in 3-point defense?
That's a good question. You know, they are right now. They're doing much better as far as like hitting their shots. They're at 71%.
Ooh.
They are 37.1%.
29th in 3-point defense.
Yeah.
Team shooting 39.5% against them.
That's wild.
That is crazy.
That is wild. And
on
everyone,
35 attempts a game.
Everyone wants to talk about, you know, like whether Sabonis is limited defensively. Their interior defense is perfectly fine. They're 12th in the league and 2-point field goal. Well, 13th in the league, yeah. and 2-point field goal percentage against. Yeah, that 29.5 stands out. That's definitely a design. That's by design. So they may need to tweak that during the All-Star break.
Yeah, teams are too good now and too skilled now to just say. I mean, Orlando. That double overtime win against the Magic, we went into it going, dude, let Orlando shoot it. And then they made, I think, went 7 of 10 in the first quarter.
There was like three games that week. We're like, let them shoot it. And they're like, hell yeah, we'll shoot it.
Yeah, and like NBA players are just too good now that even a 30% three-point shooter, if that guy is wide open, he's going to knock him down. So, yeah, I think that's a defensive adjustment they have to make, because that's just not a good way to go through life.
Well, and I'd also tell you that there are things in the league like self-fulfilling prophecies, right? You go up against a team who is known to be a bad three-point defensive team, and so you come into the game knowing that you're going to get open looks and you need to hit them. And a lot of times teams who come in with that mindset that I'm going to get a bunch of open looks from three, they end up hitting their threes. And, you know, so it's possible that the Kings are horrible defensively, but it's also possible that guys come in with a little bit of extra confidence because that's the MO of the team you're facing. And so you gotta shake that. You gotta figure out a way to not allow teams to shoot that kind of percentage from three. That's crazy. 39.5. They almost give up 40% from the field on 3-point shots.
Okay, so in the first half of the year, not necessarily the first half, before the turn of the calendar.
Okay.
In 31 games, teams are shooting 37.4% from three against the Kings.
Mm.
They finished at Memphis. That was a game that dominated the Grizzlies, 123-92. And Memphis went 12 of 40. That's 30%. Then they went, this is three-point percentage allowed, 35, and I'm going to round up or down, 35, 57, 35, 54, 38, 42, 43, 47, 46, 39.
You got a problem.
That's really bad.
You got a problem, Kyle.
Oh, my God.
But I think if you were to ask the coaching staff, which I probably will ask them this question
tomorrow. Yeah, please
do. If you're going to ask them, they're going to say, well, but we have to take away something. And because of their limit, because they don't have a natural shot blocker, because they don't have like excellent defenders, like natural defenders, they're trying to shrink in and take away the easy buckets, and they're giving up more looks from the outside.
Since the calendar turned, teams in, how many games is this? 18. In 18 games, opponents are shooting 42.6% from beyond the arc against the Kings.
That's not good.
That is insane.
That's how you lose.
Every team turns into prime Steph Curry against the Warriors or against the Kings.
Yeah.
And the Warriors, but yikes, dude.
That is a
wild, brutal number.
That is a wild stat.
Oh, God.
Yeah, absolutely amazing stat. So they don't defend the three ball. And then the other ugly thing, like I know I get a rap here for not liking JaVale McGee, and there are games where I are perfectly fine with JaVale McGee.
I balance it out because I love JaVale McGee.
I know so many people do love JaVale McGee, right? And I get it. But a game like last night, you're just sitting there watching. And you know how many people hit my timeline and said, hey, why is Alex Len not playing? And I don't have an answer for you. Like, dude, I thought Alex Len was impactful when he was in the game for that like seven game stretch. And then they go away from him, and I get it. Like, you wanted to give JaVale some minutes on his birthday and stuff like that, but
what?
But like, I'm confused. Like, we talked about this. If you gave JaVale McGee minutes against every team, hit every one of his former teams, then he's playing it almost every single night.
Dude, if that's the impetus behind who's playing the backup five for the Kings,
yeah,
what the hell are we doing here? It's his birthday. Oh, it's his former team. I don't give a damn.
Yeah. I'm confused, man.
This is not. I don't want to.
Why do you hate JaVale McGee?
Damian Barling's here.
I don't hate JaVale McGee.
Yes, you do.
I don't hate JaVale McGee.
No, just say you hate JaVale McGee.
I don't hate JaVale McGee.
Yes,
Damian
do.
Barling coming up at noon. No Kenny today?
No Kenny today.
Okay, so just Damian coming up at noon. I don't think anybody.
Still D'Lo and Casey. It's always D'Lo and Casey.
It's D'Lo and Kenny.
Oh, my mistake. That's
Thank
correct.
You. Yeah, D'Lo and Kenny this week.
Yeah.
Also catch them on KSFM 37. Anyways, it's not hating JaVale McGee by any stretch. In fact, he's one of my favorite players ever. But when you watch him in a game like last night and then you watch Alex Len play, it's not like, oh man, that's the reason they lost. It's not anything like that. It's just wondering, as you're trying to maximize the quality of the Kings rotations, it's just pretty clear to me that Alex Len is just the more productive of the two players, and it's confusing when Len plays and he's good and he's productive, and then, oh, and now here's 2 weeks of JaVale.
Yeah, most of what Mike does to me is confusing. I don't understand what Mike, I don't understand what he does with Chris Duarte and with Kessler Edwards. I don't understand what he does with Alex Len and JaVale McGee. I have no idea.
I don't either.
Like you said, that's not a direct reason as to why they're winning or losing games.
No,
but no, I don't understand it either.
And I think that's part of why the JaVale thing is the JaVale Alex Len thing stands out so much is what you just said. It's not like this is one thing. It is a season long, and for a while, and honestly, even still to this point, a little bit, you're going, hey, you're trying to figure out who your best eight dudes are for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to figure out what lineups work and what lineups don't. It's just like, on February 5th, it's just really clear who your best, third, I guess, technically center, if Trey Lyles is going to be your small ball five, your best backup center, quote unquote, is. And I think it's really clear in the fact that they continue, that Mike Brown continues to mess with the rotations, and now Davion's in the lineup, now he's not, and now it's Alex Lano, and now it's JaVale McGee, and now it's Chris Duarte, and now it's not. It just, I think that there's some frustration setting in, especially as the team continues to kind of sit around where it was last year.
Well, I would say too, like if your problem is defense, I hate, JaVale McGee doesn't help you defensively at all.
Not anymore.
No. Like, I mean, he got beat to the basket by a couple of guys last night where you're like, what has happened? And he's not blocking shots at all. And sure, he grabbed some rebounds, but I kind of liken it to like the Malik Monk versus like Trey Lyles. Like Malik Monk scores 13 points and you remember every single one of those baskets.
Mm-hmm.
It was wild. It was super fun.
Yeah.
Trey Lyles over here was 16, but you don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, he hit some threes, right? What? Wait, he has 16 points? And that's where Alex Len goes out there and he doesn't do anything spectacular, but he doesn't do anything wrong. He's tall. He stands tall. He plays goalie. He may not have the blocks, but he also is really good defensively at the rim. And sure, can he defend the three? No, but neither one of those guys can defend the three. So I'm just confused. Like, I get it. JaVale is a lot more fun to watch, but that's not what winning is usually about. Winning is usually about like having players that go in and play their role to a high degree and don't make mistakes. And yep. That's why I'm always confused by it.
I agree.
You also hate JaVale McGee.
I don't hate JaVale. Don't hate.
I don't know what that man
don't
did to
you.
I don't know what that man ever did to you.
Just
every time JaVale does something on the floor, I go, oh, great. There's 12 minutes of James tomorrow. 12 minutes of James going in on JaVale McGee. Great.
That's
all
funny.
Because he dribbled the ball off his foot, picked it up, turned around, and shot a three. Which one of us hasn't done that?
She did that last night, right?
He did.
He did.
Now, in fairness, the shot clock was winding down.
Was it winding down because of him? Probably.
The context isn't important.
I think it's when I was in Hawaii. I checked my phone real quick. I just checked the box score because I wasn't back at the hotel yet. I just looked at the box score, and the first thing I see on Gamecast is JaVale McGee shot a three with like 17 seconds left on the shot clock. I screenshot it and sent it to James. I'm like, what the hell's going on? What's happening in this game?
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. No, JaVale's fine. JaVale's fine. It's just, he has a, according to Basketball Reference, his net rating this year is zero. It's just a even.
Straight up.
Alex Len's a plus nine.
Yeah.
Little way better offensively, a little better defense, or that's a little
plus
worse defensively.
Nine per 100.
Per 100 possessions.
Possessions. So, like, yeah. Basically plus nine per game.
Yeah.
It's not just overall, he's a plus nine.
And maybe when they get to the playoffs, maybe it'll be Alex Len. But the fact that we're in February and we're still experimenting with the big man rotation is a little worrisome to me.
Okay.
That's all.
I'm with you, Kyle.
Anyways. Did you see drunk Kyle Shanahan last night, Damian?
That was tremendous.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was feeling it.
I don't have a problem with it.
It's good stuff.
I'm kind of here for it, honestly.
I mean, that's kind of what Media Night has become now, right? Just kind of a circus of silliness. It sounds like there were some good questions asked last night, but for the most part, it's just silliness.
Yeah. I did think the thing that got buried in the answer that we played about him talking to Michael Robinson, and he says he's talking about when he said Brock Purdy was the best quarterback in training camp during Purdy's rookie year. Mm-hmm. And he said in there, I said it out of frustration, meaning like he was frustrated with how Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance are both playing. Mm-hmm. And that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, no,
even
absolutely.
Even if it was a drunk mind speaking a sober heart.
Kind of thing. I think sometimes when people are drunk is when they're the most honest.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Ask Kyle Shanahan all of your questions today.
Yeah, he very well may tell you anything at this point.
So, all right. Damian Barling coming up next.
Show's over.
Yeah,
because I just want to tell you, I hate the positioning of your microphone, and I can't like describe like enough.
Should I do this?
Like, hate's just not strong enough of a word. See, now I can see you. No, yeah, because I
can
see
you. My bad, dude. I just get fired up and I start talking to James.
But you have to remember, you're also a radio show that is broadcast out there visually to the world, and I don't want this
right.
Kyle
Madsen. You're welcome, viewer.
Like, no,
this is.
Look at that.
In my defense, I can't see you. He can see you from there. I can't.
Oh, that's funny.
I can't see you.
Well, the good news is next week, starting next week, per sources, I'll be sitting in there. So.
Oh.
Sources close to. Oh.
Sources close to the engineers.
Very good.
Very good.
Well, they're the only people in the whole building that really matter. So.
Correct.
That's fine.
Correct. Seth, Jonathan, you
that's
guys are
right.
the best.
Yep.
D'Lo and Kenny coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.